He stumbled badly in his opening remarks as he moved stiffly around the stage, trying desperately to look at ease, but forgetting what his notes said. Sure, he'd once been a lawyer, but his specialty had been securities. As he forgot one point after another, he returned to his common theme. Mr. Lake here is trying to buy this election because he has nothing to say. A nasty tone developed quickly. Lake smiled handsomely, water off a duck's back. Terry's weak beginning emboldened Lake, gave him a shot of confidence and convinced him to stay behind the podium where it was safe and where his notes were. He began by saying that he wasn't there to throw mud, that he had respect for Governor Terry, but they had just listened to him speak for 5 minutes and 11 seconds, and he'd said nothing positive. Then he ignored his opponent and briefly covered three issues that needed to be discussed. Tax relief, welfare reform, and the trade deficit. Not a word about defense. The first question from the panel of reporters was directed at Lake, and it dealt with the budget surplus. What should be done with the money? It was a soft pitch, lobbed by a friendly reporter, and Lake was all over it. Save Social Security, he answered. Then, in an impressive display of financial straight talk, he outlined precisely how the money should be used. He gave figures and percentages and projections, all from memory. Governor Terry's response was simply to cut taxes, give the money back to the people who'd earned it. Few points were scored during the questioning. Both candidates were well prepared. The surprise was that Lake, the man who wanted to own the Pentagon, was so well versed in all other issues. The debate settled into the usual give and take. The questions from the spectators were thoroughly predictable. The fireworks began when the candidates were allowed to quiz one another. Terry went first and, as expected, asked Lake if he was trying to buy the election. You weren't concerned about money when you had more than everyone else, Lake shot back, and the audience came to life. I didn't have $50 million, Terry said. Neither do I, Lake said. It's more like $60 million, and it's coming in faster than we can count it. It's coming from working people and middle-income folks. 81% of our contributors are people earning less than $40,000 a year. Something wrong with those people, Governor Terry? There should be a limit on how much a candidate should spend. I agree. And I've voted for limits 8 different times in Congress. You, on the other hand, never mentioned limits until you ran out of money. Governor Terry looked quail-like at the camera, the frozen stare of a deer in headlights. A few of Lake's people in the audience laughed just loud enough to be heard. The beads of sweat returned to the governor's forehead as he shuffled his oversized note cards. He wasn't actually a sitting governor, but he still preferred the title. In fact, it had been 9 years since the voters of Indiana sent him packing after only one term. Lake saved this ammo for a few minutes. Terry then asked why Lake had voted for 54 new taxes during his 14 years in Congress. I don't recall 54 taxes, Lake said, but a lot of them were on tobacco and alcohol and gambling. I also voted against increases in personal income taxes, corporate income taxes, federal withholding taxes, and Social Security taxes. I'm not ashamed of that record. And speaking of taxes, Governor, during your 4 years in Indiana, how do you explain the fact that individual tax rates increased by an average of 6%? No quick response was forthcoming, so Lake plowed ahead. You want to cut federal spending, yet in your 4 years in Indiana, state spending increased 18%. You want to cut corporate income taxes, yet during your 4 years in Indiana, corporate income taxes went up 3%. You want to end welfare, yet when you were governor, 40,000 people were added to the welfare rolls in Indiana. How do you explain this? End of side 6.